You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Who are these prints up in Ball Club?
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned their manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.
Right.
Searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill. And as everybody knows, the last couple of weeks, Tom has been working with the BBC on filming an episode for about Bigfoot and research. And so tonight, at the last minute, Tom had to go into the mode of filming, and so Java Bob is going to host the show tonight. So, Java Bob, how are you tonight, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great, Marco. This looks like a great show you got lined up. I'm all excited about it.
Yeah, I need to find out one thing. I've got a telephone number I don't recognize here, and the area code 603-8130. Can you tell me who this is?
I'm Rex Howdy Show.
Well, Rex, I got your number down wrong, don't I? Nope. You're just drawing on a different one. That's okay, Rex. No problem. I just wanted to make sure you're on.
Outstanding. You know, we got a lot of our good friends out there in the chat room, and I see Connie Gilbert, one of our favorite Canadians, is out there. Good to see that you got your computer back up and running. We missed you, darling. We really did. Glad to see you out there. We got Alex out there, of course. Alex from Arizona, who keeps us informed of what's going on out there all the time. We appreciate that. We have Arkansas Bigfoot out there. That's exciting. And, of course, Bill Green. Bill Green, I don't think it would be a show without Bill in there. You know, he's there every week. We really appreciate it, Bill. Thank you. And, of course, we've got the Georgia Bigfoot people out there. And we've got Mike in Ohio. Mike, welcome. Well, you're kind of new. You've been there a couple times, but good to see you back. And Rex Howdy Show. Rex is, of course, you know, he's moved off to Connecticut, and he's got a whole new life to get used to out there. And I talked to him the other day. He says he's doing great. He really likes it. A little cold, though, he said. He'll tell us all about it when we get him on. And Tommy, AP, out there, how you doing, my friend? Good to see you. And, of course, we have the gentle giant, Tom's Dental Diet. That's Steve, Big Steve. He is a giant, but what a nice guy he is. I talk to him a lot and consider him a real good friend. And of course, we have a whole list of people that support us every week. They're there all the time. They're always calling in and filling us in what's going on in their areas. The list is just way too long for me to remember them all, and I hate to start calling them off because I'll start missing people, and I don't want to insult anybody. So I'm just going to say we appreciate and love you all. Thank you so much. So welcome tonight, and I think we got a pretty good show lined up. I'm pretty excited about it, some interesting stuff. And, Marco, have we got William Barnes here?
We sure do. William Barnes, he's from California and the Blimp Project. William, are you there? He's there. Java, just I think my control panel might be cycling slow. William, could you press a star and a 7 key?
Well, I heard something click.
Yep. Can you hear me?
You're
now?
There, William. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't read all the directions, I guess.
No, that's not it. That's what I'm here for.
Okay.
I got to do something on the show.
William, would you prefer? This is Java Bob. I haven't got a chance to talk to you till now, and I'm excited about what you got going on there, and I can't wait to hear more about it. Do you prefer I call you William or Bill, or what do you like to go by?
Yeah, either one. Will's fine.
Will? Okay, Will, you can call me Java Bob or JB. Just don't call me late for supper, okay?
Okay.
You know, I hear you're working on building a blimp that's going to be outfitted with equipment to track this creature. And that's okay. Pretty amazing to me. I don't know if people understand exactly what's involved there, but my goodness, a 700-cubic-foot helium blimp can barely carry 6 pounds, so this is a major project, and I can't wait to hear how you're doing it.
Well, I'd like to explain to you how it's being built, but I can't right now at this point because it's kind of new. I got to keep it quiet until my maiden flight, I guess you could say. Yes, there's a lot of technology that's going into this, and it's getting better and better every day. And my our whole idea is just to track it at night and hopefully until the daytime to get clear images of it in its own natural habitat.
Absolutely. What a great idea. You know, I've seen people that have tried this before, and they ran into a lot of snags, and it's going to take somebody with a good knowledge of what they're doing and somebody who thinks outside the box a little bit to get something like this to work. And we're just excited to know there's people like you out there. So what made you think of something like this?
Well, I had kind of an encounter in 97, a little too close encounter, real close encounter. And it took me this long to figure out a way possibly to film it in the wild, because I know you can't hunt it on foot. You can probably get a glimpse or a picture every once in a while, but that can be faked too easy. Basically, I want to get long footage so people know what they're looking at and what it is. You know, there can't be no faking it as true as possible without even... I'm a no-kill zone person, so the next best thing is to film it. So this is the only way I could figure that I could get close enough with good lenses, actually be far away. With good lenses, it'd be up close and stay with it for long periods of time, as much as possible.
Well, that's outstanding. You know, you teased us a little bit. You told us about your encounter. I know you can't give us too many details about your project, but we'd sure like to hear about your encounter. Can you share that with us?
Yeah. Well, I'm a gold miner. I started gold mining in 1995. And I used to go up this one creek. It's an ancient riverbed from the hydraulic days, and the floods usually clean the whole canyons out just into quartz gravel. It's about 90 to 95% quartz gravel. So even if it's pitch black dark, you can see figures on the canyon itself. And I woke up like 2 in the morning in a little pup tent, just threw my stuff out and waiting for a dredge to come in because I don't own a truck and never did, and they still get mad at me because I don't have a truck. But they bring the equipment in for me. About 2 in the morning, I heard a commotion around the corner in the canyon. It's rounded like an amphitheater. And I could hear some pretty good stuff moving, pretty good-sized rocks. It's all gravel and rocks, big as your fist to big as your head sometimes. And then you can hear the, coming around the corner, walking actually, you can hear the footsteps. But when it came around the corner, I thought it was a bear coming down the canyon. I thought, okay, a bear. Have no gun, no flashlight, it'll just go. So I kept walking up, wandering down the canyon, then my car was parked to the front of it, to the right of me, at an angle a little bit, and it got towards the hood of the car, about 30 feet away, and I noticed, well, this thing is pretty big. And I'm like, yeah, it is big. And when I got up to the car, I thought it'd go to my right and go across the creek, and just It went to my left a little bit, right and then left and straight to the tent. And I was like staring at this thing in the dark, and I'm like, okay. I mean, the only thing I can hear was the heartbeat in my ears. That's all I could hear. And I'm looking at this figure, and then it turned sideways and couldn't believe how thick it was. It was just unbelievable. And just, it was just amazing how big this thing actually was. A good 450 pounds, easy 450. And then
it just
turned. I don't know how long he stood there because time froze for me. It might have been 2 seconds, but it felt like an hour almost. But it was pretty intense right then. But when it turned to move and go across the creek and up the hill, it was just totally amazing. It was so graceful. It was unbelievable. It was like, wow, they are real. And basically that's what got me into this is that one encounter. I mean, I've been thinking for all these years, I'm not going to go in the woods and hunt for it. Because I've read too many biographies and stories that people never even seen one after 35 years or 20 years out there. And I've been fortunate enough to see one up close. And I want to be able to film it and see it in color, not in the dark. I want to see the true color of it.
And outstanding. Wow, that's quite a story. You know, so few people are blessed enough to actually get an encounter where they can actually see this thing. You know, I've been out for many years with being tutored by the best Bigfoot researcher that I'm aware of. And by golly, I've seen it using night vision equipment, and I've seen it using thermal imagers and things like that, but I've never seen it eyeball to eyeball. I've had it within 10 feet of me, but
I was actually very lucky. Because it was so dark, if I put my hand up in front of me through the screen of the tent, I could see my fingers through the quartz in the background. But if something's in front of me, as this one was, I put my hand in front of me, I couldn't see nothing. That's how dark it was. I could see the figure. I'm glad I couldn't see its eyes, but I could see where the eyes should be and where the face should be. But eyes would be more scarier than seeing one in the dark like that. Intentions, when you look into something's eyes, you realize intentions. And after the whole thing was over with, I noticed one thing. There was no threat at all, zero. It was just curious. It just seemed like it was just curious. You know, what am I doing in his canyon or something? But I know I got up the next morning, and I moved my camp across the canyon, way far away from that little canyon. Stretched for the rest. In fact, I only spent another month out there. After that, and sold my dredge, and I still do gold mining. So I spent about 5 years total in the woods, mostly by myself, after 15 years now. And that's one of the most interesting encounters I've ever had, and it's just unbelievable how graceful it is, and that's what I want to see again, but I want to see it in color. And that's how this whole idea came up.
It's amazing how something like that, when you have an encounter, when you know it's out there, I think T.J. Biscardi said it best, it'll occupy your mind for the rest of your life. And once you have that bug, once that Bigfoot bug bites you, you just got to know. You got to see it. You got to go prove it. You know, you got to let people know. And it's amazing how it gets inside of you and just takes hold and off you go. I mean, that's happened to a bunch of us now.
Well, I know. One thing that happened to me is my gun got bigger every year after that, that I kept it. But I can tell you, it took me about 4 years to even tell anybody. You know, I only told one person in that 4 years, and he was pretty passive with me, so he made it easy on me. And because, you know, I didn't want to tell anybody I'd seen something like this. And I got to know a lot of old miners that live out in the wilderness. I mean, these guys live out there in 30 years, some of them. So I was talking to one guy who's been in the same canyon for 5 months, 5 to 6 months at a time for 30 years straight. And I asked him one night when I was mining on his property, I said, you know, you've been down here close to 30 years now. What's the scariest thing ever happened to you? And he thought for a minute and said, well, you know, I went to go to bed one night, and he don't use a tent to sleep. He just has a sleeping bag on the side of the creek where his stuff's at, and he likes to sleep out in the open. He said he went to lay down, and this thing walked up and never said what it was. Walked up and stood over him for 20, 30 minutes, he said, I mean, for a long period of time. He said it was so close that he could hear it breathing. And the first thing I said, why didn't you shoot it? Because you always carry that .44 Magnum on your chest when you go to sleep. And he paused for a minute and finally said it was too big.
And wow.
That was the end of the conversation.
Well, actually, I'm glad to hear you didn't shoot it for whatever reason, because I don't know that they're generally a threat to people. I guess they could be. But I'm not in any hurry to see one of them get killed.
No, I wouldn't have shot the one I've seen, even if it was at night, because actually it wasn't no threat. The only threat to me was it was getting closer to my tent. That was... It was like, wow, you know, what do? I can't do nothing. You know, I can't move. I can't have no place to go.
Yeah,
and I was like,
yeah.
Okay, what do? Well, your heart beats real hard for some reason. You're really scared. And,
yeah.
And basically, it's a unique situation, actually. I think next time I see it, it's going to be more peaceful.
Well, Will, I got another question for you. I know you don't want to give out too much information about the sightings, and I understand that, but was it in California?
Yes.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is because I've lived both in Sutter Creek area, where there's a lot of mining and know a lot of miners up there, and
yeah, I'm up,
and Happy
I'm up,
Camp up on the Klamath River. And,
I'm up by Yuba River, Feather River, Slate Creek. I'm in the foothills of the mountains here in the Gold Belt area. And
yeah, very familiar with that area.
Plenty of sightings. In every county that I've mined in 15 years around here, there's been sightings. So, that, you know, that kind of keeps me thinking that there's more than what people think that live out there. I think they're a master of disguise and hard to find. But my way, I think I have a better chance because I'll be covering more square miles than anybody else can on foot.
Uh-huh.
Also,
Bob, we got a couple of callers. Would you like to have them pose a question?
Sure.
Sure.
Why not?
Okay. We'll start with the first one. Area code 207. You're on Bigfoot Live Radio with Java Bob and Marco Bill.
Hello?
Hi. Who are we talking to?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know. This is Kayla Roberts. I didn't know
Kayla.
I was on for a question. I just had my phone on speakerphone.
Well, actually, Kayla, there's an article that Kayla shared with us. She's from up there in Maine. And she's going to come on. We're probably going to have you on. Why don't you stay on the phone, unless you have a question here for our guest. Stay on the phone.
Okay.
Just mute yourself out by hitting star 6.
I got it. It's a blocker.
Okay. Mark will take care of it. And maybe we'll get you back on when we get Rex on, and you can share some of that information with us. That'd be great.
Yeah. I was just listening to
Kayla.
The show. I don't know. Apparently. Okay, cool. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Kayla.
Okay, the next caller. Area code 714 on Bigfoot Live Radio with Java Bob and Marco Bill. Go ahead. Area code 714.
Hello?
745. You're on Bigfoot Live Radio.
Hey.
Hey, who are we talking to?
This is Tom calling in from El Cajon.
Well, hi, Tom from El Cajon. How are you? You have a question for Will or me?
I've been with you guys now for about 2-3 weeks, and I've been up by Sutter Creek. It's been years since I've been up there, and I've never been hunting up in that area, but it seems like an area that would hold that kind of a creature, probably families of them. And what time of evening? It was right after dusk, or was it late in the morning when this thing walked up on you? Well, how did that come about?
It was between 1 and 2 in the morning.
Well, so you've been sleeping for a while?
Me, yeah. I wake up to any odd sound. I have a natural ability while I'm sleeping in the woods because I do a lot of mining. That it could be rocks tumbling off the side of the ancient riverbeds where they did the hydraulic thing, and it wouldn't wake me up because it's normal. These sounds were abnormal because of the way the noise was, and I wake up easily when noises like that, and I heard larger things moving other than the rocks jiggling off the side of the hill every once in a while. So I knew there was an animal in the corner someplace, but figured it was a bear in the beginning.
Was there any odor in the air?
Nope, that's another thing. No threat, no odor. I'm a firm believer after all these years of reading of everything that everybody else has seen and done, is that I think when they think they're threatened or threat or close to threat, it's a signal. That's
you know, our experience has been that if they're around clean running water, they don't smell. When they're in areas where there's not that much water available, or they're in their caves and everything, they do have a terrible odor.
Like,
so
or,
they
like,
don't always smell. You're right.
Like always in Florida. In Florida, they stink real bad.
Yes, they do.
Yes,
I smell them.
I lived in Florida off and on for like 21 years, and when I was growing up as a teenager and a few years there, then even outside of West Palm Beach, they were having sightings when back in the 70s. And always the smell was very, very strong every time. But, yeah, I do believe if they are threatened in any way, I do believe they have scent glands that will let you know that they're around, I think.
I think that's a good thought. Well, you know, Will, we got to move along here. We have another guest scheduled here in a minute. So I really appreciate you sharing these stories with us, and we'd love to talk to you again. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, that'd be great. And I do want to tell people the website, bigfoot24-7.com. That's where my website is. Like people come and look. The blimp on there is not the blimp I'm using, by the way, but it's pretty close, I guess you could say. But
well, definitely keep us informed of your progress, and thanks for stopping in and sharing your stories with us. We really appreciate it. And to the callers, thank you so much for calling in. And Marco?
And Will, what you can do is you can listen to the rest of the show online here. Just hit *6, mute yourself out again.
Okay. And then, okay, I understand. Yeah, I'll just turn on the computer.
Yeah, no, you can listen to it on the phone, too. It's up to you.
Yeah, I know. I'll just turn on the computer. My girlfriend wants to listen.
Oh, okay, no problem. Thank you, Will.
You guys have a good night, and thanks for letting me on.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing.
Okay, bye.
So, Marco, have we got Joshua there? Joshua?
Yeah, Joshua?
I'm here.
Joshua,
yep,
this is Joshua's Java Bob.
Here.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Java Bob?
Excellent. Welcome to the Bigfoot Live Radio Show.
Thank you very much.
I understand you've been doing some investigating on the ever-popular and sometimes controversial Patterson-Gimlin film?
Yes, that's right. I've been actually investigating the Patterson-Gimlin film for about, I couldn't say how many years. I'm afraid I'm going to be the guy that takes some lumps from you guys because I'm a skeptic of Bigfoot. I'm somebody who's been looking at the evidence for years and has pretty much, you know, come to the position that I don't think Bigfoot is actually a real animal. But I did start out years and years and years ago as a proponent, as a believer in Bigfoot. It started for me when I was a kid. I was in the third grade, and I read the books by John Green, which, you know, as a young boy really captured the imagination there. And I think John Green's books got a lot of people into it. I know for a lot of people it was Legend of Boggy Creek, the movie, or for many people it was their personal experiences. But that was the thing. I got the bug, so to speak, when I was a kid, and just kept pursuing it. And up into my adulthood, got more and more involved in the research and looking at the evidence. And I was lucky to grow up on Vancouver Island on the West Coast.
Hot spot.
And, real, you know, that's what they say. And it was interesting for me because I had the bug so bad about, you know, wanting to know about Bigfoot.
Well, Joshua, let me interrupt you real quick here.
Sure, go ahead.
Just to make me feel a little more comfortable. First of all, we're out to find the truth. And so healthy skepticism is not a problem for us. Trust me. We're not going to, if we form an opinion without anything to back it up, we're not going to get to the truth. Now, I firmly believe there is something out there that requires considerably more serious study. But dealing with someone who's not sure is not a problem for me, and I don't think anyone else in our group either. So please be comfortable and just share your ideas openly and honestly.
Sure.
That's all we want.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I appreciate that, Javabob. Yeah, the thing is, you know, especially, you know, I've been writing for the James Randi Educational Foundation forums for about the last 4 years, which is it's a skeptics organization. It's devoted to like skepticism and critical thinking, and they do testing for paranormal claims and stuff. But Bigfoot is just a huge, huge topic there, and it's, you know, we have dozens of threads, conversations going on all the time. Our first thread on the Patterson-Gimlin film went to over 411 pages, had something like, I can't remember now, like over 16,000 posts in it, and had like over 500,000 views. So
wow,
this is something
wow.
that was, it's really popular. So, you know, it's the Patterson film. It's one of those things where it's, you know, it's really captured the imagination of a lot of people, and a lot of people, you know, in the skeptic community come at it as, you know, the truth of it is it's unresolved. It's whether you believe in Bigfoot or not, it is, the Patterson film is a controversy. It is a mystery. It's not proven to be a Bigfoot. It's not proven to be a hoax. And that sort of, you know, pulls a lot of people into it, right? And the thing about Bigfoot in general, you know, I think it's an idea that's, you know, really, really hard for a lot of people to accept without having looked at the evidence. And it's the sort of thing where you have you guys who are out there and, you know, you're spending your time, you're spending your money, you're making a lot of effort to try and resolve the issue. You know, you guys take a lot of guff. I'm sure you guys get criticized a lot for, you know, looking for
an understatement.
Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, I'm just the opposite. I'm an engineering manager. I was an engineering manager, retired, working on some of the most cutting-edge equipment in the world, the kind of equipment they use to make the stuff they use at NASA. You know, and I'm very analytical, and it was I was a total skeptic, and it was the evidence that I saw personally that convinced me that there is probably a lot more to this than I ever thought possible. So I'm just the opposite, you know. I instead of reading about it on the web and watching the YouTube videos, I actually got a chance to go out with someone into the field and see for myself what was out there, and that's why I believe the way I do. So it's interesting
Bob,
you brought that up.
Let me ask you. You know, I'm a person who has, you know, grown up, you know, in the forests of Vancouver Island in British Columbia. I've never, you know, if Bigfoot is real, I've never had the good fortune to encounter the creature, or I've never, you know, had an experience that I can say, oh, that was Bigfoot. Now, for you as, researcher, as an investigator, you're satisfied with the evidence that you've seen that there is something, you know, out there worth investigating. I would ask you, what do you think is probably the most persuasive evidence that you've seen yourself, that you've experienced yourself and seen with your own eyes?
Well, I saw this thing with my own eyes using a night vision scope running through a swamp. So I know it wasn't a bear, you know, out there in that swamp running on two legs. And I was there with several witnesses. They all saw the same thing. I've seen where it's been feeding. We have bones. I have DNA results that show it's very human-like, but not human. All these things that they say don't exist, we have them. We are working right now on some very interesting DNA results that are coming back.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
Human. Yeah. So there's a lot of evidence out there. It's one of those things like people tend to, like let's look at D.B. Cooper. You know who D.B. Cooper is? The guy who hijacked the airplane.
Yeah.
They never found a body. They never found any bones. They never found any of this. Does that mean he doesn't exist?
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know who it was, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some real investigation to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. When they find DNA, they have nothing to compare it to, so they can't say it's a Bigfoot. So rather than say anything, they just say, well, we can't identify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So there's a lot out there. What I've seen has convinced me that it needs more serious investigation. For me to say that it's a Bigfoot is pretty tough. But I know there's something out there that resembles a human being. It may even be a human being. I don't know. Some type of unknown human, undiscovered human. I don't know. But the DNA is very close to human, but not human. Not the same. Not the same as any human that we're aware of anyway. But only off by a couple of pairs out of 8 million pairs sequencing, only being off a couple of pairs is pretty darn close. It's closer than Neanderthal, and they think we could interbreed with Neanderthal. So
now, Bob, you're talking about DNA, like DNA samples coming from, this is coming from bone or skin or hair or feces, or what are we talking about?
Yes, I am, and I don't want to give you too much information. We have it coming from bone, we have it coming from skin, and we have it coming from fingernails and toenails, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, just one piece of advice. If you do have, multiple sources like skin and bone and hair and other things for this DNA, the one thing that I would recommend is, have you ever heard of a Professor Todd Disotel in New York? What you guys would remember him from is, when you see, you guys watch Monster Quest, right?
Yeah, I'm familiar with who he is.
Okay, well, yeah, I was going to say, Professor Disotel has an open standing policy. He has basically an invitation out there for anybody who thinks that they might have DNA of a Sasquatch, that his lab will test it, and they have a very certain specific criteria that they go through to test this. And I'm sure, in your case,
well, I've learned an awful lot about DNA, and it's a pretty amazing subject. At any rate, we're kind of getting off track here. We're running out of time.
Sure. Right? Yeah.
What's your bottom line on the Patterson film?
Well, I've been looking into it, like I said, for years now, and for a long time, basically, in the last 4 years, I've become pretty convinced that the film is a hoax. And I, before I considered, when Greg Long's book, Making of Bigfoot, came out in 2004, that got a lot of heat. Greg Long got into a lot of battles with the Bigfoot community. He started out with a position of conflict, with the Bigfoot community, and he was sort of pointing his finger at everybody and saying, I did all this, and, I was the one that looked into it, and you guys didn't do anything, and you guys are like a cult, and blah, blah, blah. And he really, kind of shot himself in the foot with the Bigfoot community. But the thing is that he did do, you know, some really good investigative journalism, and he did find out some pretty important things. And I, you know, looking over the years at the things that have been found, I came to the position that I thought, you know what, I think Bob Hieronymus, who's the only person to ever have claimed to be in the suit, I think there's a good chance that he may actually have been in the suit. And so, you know, we debate this endlessly on the internet, on the forums, on the Bigfoot forums, and, you know, at the JREF, which is a skeptics forum. And I got to the point where I thought, you know, this isn't moving forward in any way. I want to, you know, get more involved. I want to talk with the principal people here while they're still around, you know, before they pass on. And
That's what I did. Yeah. I went up and I met all these people and talked to them myself.
Yeah. So I, you know, I kept at this for a while. And then just recently, I was able to get in touch with some of the core people, including Bob Hieronymus. And this sort of, you know, really spurned me on to, you know, really increase my efforts in the investigation. Started learning a lot of things. And at first I was planning to basically do my investigation as a book. And then it sort of started getting bigger and bigger. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try to make a documentary film out of this project. But the thing is, just getting on to what makes me so sure that the PGF is a hoax is there is some really, let's say for a moment that Bob Hieronymus is lying and that he was not the person in the suit. There's some really anomalous things about his case, about his claim. For example, when Greg Long first came to Bob Hieronymus after many, many, many people had indicated him as being the man in the suit in Yakima, when Greg Long first approached Bob Hieronymus, Bob Hieronymus tried to basically give him the slip. He tried to defend Roger Patterson, and he tried to defend Bob Gimlin. Many people will know that Bob Gimlin was in a documentary film that Roger Patterson was filming in the South Fork of the Attanum Valley in Yakima there. He was in this documentary. And when Greg Long first came to Bob Hieronymus, he said, "Do you know anything about this documentary? Were you in it?" And Bob Hieronymus denied. He said that he didn't know anything about it. He said that he had heard of it, but he didn't have any involvement himself, which was a very strange thing to do because he was in the film. He was one of five or so people that were in the film.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions about it. We're running out of time here, so I hate to cut you off. But
sorry, Bob. Okay,
that's okay. That's right. And just so you know, by the way, if you want to know what I look like, if you go to page 435 of Greg Long's book, The Making of Bigfoot, you'll see my picture. And that was actually before I got involved with the Bigfoot thing. He just came by because I lived in a very hot area near Bluff Creek and stopped in my restaurant and interviewed me. So,
seeing you right now. I've just opened the book to page 435. There you are, yeah.
Yeah, so just a bit of trivia there for anybody who might be interested. Anyway, Joshua, you know, we might want to get you back on and dedicate a lot more time to what you have to say because it's interesting. It's going to create a lot of controversy. There are people here who don't question that film at all. Personally, I can't say if it's real or not, but I do have some serious doubts about it, you know, and that's just my personal feeling. So, Joshua, I appreciate you coming on. You can press your star 6 button and listen to the rest of the show. We're going to have to move on. We got to do a little bit of an ad here. Marco, can you take us away?
Here we go.
Okay, so
thank you
very much for having me.
Thank you, Joshua.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, and all I could find out about Bigfoot, we went out to prove that this creature exists.
In turn, I saw this thing standing by my gator. you see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
Well, by the actual footprints, I realized there was something special, probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
But it is
and everything else. They just were too old and they're being frozen like a tree. You land on the ground
into the woods.
Female.
You know what creature lives.
Well, there we are, Jumbo Bob.
Outstanding, Marco. I guess we're running a little bit late, so can we see if we can get Rex and
Rex is
Kayla.
Rex, hit your *7 button, my friend.
And Kayla as well, if we can. She should be there.
I'll bring Kayla on.
Okay. Rex. Rex, are you there? Come on, my brother, hit your *7 button. Well, Marco, did we lose Rex?
Wait, let me try it on my control panel here and see if it works.
Okay, all right. You know, this is, I love it when we get guests on that are so easy to speak with, we start getting ahead of myself because I want to hear everything they have to say, you know.
I know.
It's tough to just say, you know, we gotta move along. I don't know how Tom does it. He's just real good at this.
Hello.
Hey, Rex.
Rex, how are you, my friend?
Okay.
And we're going to bring on Kayla.
You said it wouldn't come in.
Oh, really? Well, Kayla called earlier, and she's out there, too. So
Kayla,
we have a surprise guest, too.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hi, Kayla. Rex,
hey,
why don't you and Kayla share with us your experiences up there in Maine. And you know, I'm going to ask Kayla to go first because she could tell us why she called and what she had. She was on last week. And then why don't you pick it up right after that, Rex, and tell us what you found out there. Is that fair?
Sure.
Okay, Kayla, you're on.
Can I say one thing? On the www.bigfootlive.com, I have the four pictures that you sent of the area and also a picture of Kayla. And they're posted on the Bigfoot Live radio show page right underneath the your listing.
They're on the front page. One of the pictures of the link is also on the front page of searchingforbigfoot.com with the story printed there as well. Thank you, Marco.
All right. Well, tonight when I was just calling in to listen to the show, but because I knew that Rex was going to be on, so I'll let him tell the story mostly. But basically, him and his wife came up last weekend, and I was able to show him exactly where the first encounter was, and then the second encounter that not many people know about, which is a good thing. So we won't reveal much about that location because we don't want it to be, I don't know, over trampled like the first location was. But I guess that's all I have to say. I don't know. I'd like to hear Rex's take on everything and what he thought of the area, I guess.
Okay, Rex.
Okay, well, you know, as you know, I got my layoff notice last June when I was in Nevada investigating something, and so this, I've had a lot of life changes, and I wasn't really going to get back into Bigfooting for a while, but Kayla's stories were too interesting to pass up just 3 hours from my new house. So I called and volunteered to go out and check out the area. The forest definitely is thick enough to hide a Bigfoot, if there's a Bigfoot out there. Like she said, we went out to check out the first location, and of course we knew there had been a lot of human activity the last few days after the newspaper article. So we didn't really think we'd find anything, but just in case, you know, Bigfoot decided to walk through the area the night before, I just wanted to see if there was some footprints, but there wasn't any. We did have the closest neighbor was watching us. My wife noticed her and told us, and we waved at her and started walking over there to talk to her, but she went back into her house. So didn't get any chance to figure out where the property lines were and where we could or couldn't go into, so we pretty much stayed on the road until we decided to go on to the prime location, which was less well known. And we got out there, we got permission that time. There was somebody to talk to. Got permission to go out in that area just to walk out there, see what it was like, see if something big would try to run away from us. But nothing did. The only footprints we found were rabbit prints in the snow. That was Saturday. The people that Kayla had been talking to were not available for interviews that day. So that's her homework assignment. I wanted to contact her stories. A lot of them were secondhand, thirdhand. I want to make sure she gets a firsthand story, and want to ask these guys, you know, one thing, where the location is in that particular area of the forest. Number two, what kind of a creature it was. It was more ape-like or more mountain lion or more bear. And so she's got some work to do. I've got, I want to do some studies to see where the public land is in the area.
Well, there you go. You know, now you can see this is kind of good, Rex, because as I know, you are very serious about this. You've got the Bigfoot bug, no doubt about it. I know you've seen enough stuff out there to convince you that it requires more investigation. But you are healthful. You have a healthy skepticism. That's what is going to help us get the truth, get to the bottom of this. You know, we can't just go in and say everything that goes bump in the night is a Bigfoot, because it's not. And we appreciate that skepticism, and we appreciate your drive and your thoroughness, and that's what's going to get us to where we can actually solve this issue. So,
okay.
Alex, are you out there? Alex?
I sure am, Bob.
Alex, do you have any questions for Rex? We're way ahead of schedule here, or way behind schedule, I guess, so I want to get you in there and get you to get you,
well, you know,
on air.
Well, you know, that's where Eileen and I am. I'm from, so I unmuted myself when Rex came on, hoping you'd let me ask him a question.
We have another caller as well.
Now, Rex, where are you, like, near up there in Maine? You near one of the rivers, the Saco, the Kennebunk, anywhere in that area? Where are you, down near the Mass line? Whereabouts is all this going on, you know, without giving out, you know, you shouldn't?
This is Kayla speaking. I'm actually the one that's from Maine. Rex is from New Hampshire. But Maine is really exciting.
Kayla, I know exactly where Rex is from. I'm asking you or him where the location is. I'm from Quincy, Boston.
Oh, you're from where?
I'm from Quincy in Boston, so I'm from back east, but I'm out here in Arizona and work a lot with Tom and Java Bob, of course.
Oh, okay. The closest area that it would be to is the Androscoggin River. I'm guessing it's probably, I don't know, like 10 or 12 miles from the Androscoggin. Trying to think if there's any other. Yeah, that's like the closest body of water, I think, that would be near there.
Now, obviously, that's not one that everybody's heard of. So what's the nearest major town? I'm naming Saco and Kennebunk because those are the big ones.
The nearest major town would be Lewiston. And I could tell you what town it's from, because, I mean, that's been published in the paper, and it's pretty much, you know,
it's been in our report. I just didn't want to ask something.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, it's located right in Leeds, Maine, along the Green Line. So from Augusta, the capital, it's probably 20 miles. And from Lewiston, it's probably like 10 miles.
God's country.
Yeah, right in central Maine, yeah.
That's beautiful land there, and it's heavily wooded. Not a lot of major cities nearby. How big
is
the population?
Yeah, this is one of the more... Population out there? I'm not sure, but it's definitely one of the smaller, less populated towns in central Maine. It definitely is. Like, I mean, it's right the location where the sightings were. I mean, like the first one, it's right off of a main road, 202. But as far as like population and stuff, I mean, Rex could tell you too. It's not the most hopping town.
There you go. Now, are there any caves nearby? Is there hilly terrain? Is it flat? What's the land like there? Now, I know there's not many flat spots in New England at all, but tell the listeners, because not a lot of our listeners are familiar with New England.
Yeah, no, I don't know of any caves or anything like that, but it's fairly flat. I mean, it's mostly like farmland, you know, big fields, you know, and also, you know, very heavily wooded in between the fields and stuff. But for the most part, pretty, I don't want to say flat necessarily, but it's not like there's mountains right in the distance or anything.
But it is quite hilly.
Yeah, it's definitely quite hilly, but not like, you know, 2,000.
There's not many spots in New England that are flat like we... are used to, Rex, out in the Southwest and
in our deserts.
Yeah. But I imagine what she's trying to convey is there's not any large hills nearby. And for our listeners, the terrain back in the east is very, very rolling and lushly grown with trees and bushes and briars. And there are a lot of briars in that area, Kayla.
What's a briar?
Those are, you know, the short bushes that have, like, the long things in them that are hard to walk through.
You know, Alex, we do have another caller online that was trying to get in. If you can work it in, you might let Marco put him on.
Oh, yeah. Get him out there, Marco, Java Bob.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
Okay, area code 714, you're on Bigfoot Live Radio. Area code 714. 9745. You're on Bigfoot Live Radio. Oop, he hung up. I scared him off. I didn't mean to.
Okay. Well, then we'll just figure out where we left off.
I have another one.
Oh, we have another one. Okay.
Area code 334. You're on Bigfoot Live Radio. Area code 334.
Yep. Hello?
Yes. Dan?
This is Dr. Mike.
Oh, Dr. Mike. Did you have a question?
I just wanted to see how Chief Dan was doing.
I talked to Chief Dan. I called him to find out how he's doing, and he's doing much better. He's still limping around a little bit, but he's a tough guy, that man, and not much is going to hold him down, but he's in good spirits, and he's already going back out and getting ready to go back out. But he's just not he's acting like a 70-year-old man because he's so sore and everything. But other than that, he's great. He's great. He's a great guy, and thanks. I'm sure he appreciates you asking.
Well, he and JC are great friends, and I was worried, very worried about him. You know, I'd heard he had a problem. I just didn't know how well he was doing.
Well, he's doing very well. He's doing very well. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing a great deal better by the grace of God. Thank you for asking, sir. I appreciate that. Is Tom doing well? I hadn't heard from him in a while.
He is doing well. He's very busy right now, and that's why I'm filling in for him tonight. But yes, I'm doing well, and we're all doing well. And you found that swamp ape for us yet?
I'm sorry, sir.
Have you found that swamp ape for us yet?
I'm still on his trail. I haven't been active in the past 2 weeks, but I'm definitely haven't given up on him at all.
There you go. So you're going out with Chrome? And...
Yes, sir. And my other group, including Chuck. I'm sure we'll be getting together here pretty soon, make another expedition, and we'll be glad to update you soon. We know something.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.
All right. Well, it was good talking to you.
It's always a pleasure.
All right. So, Alex, you want to pick it up where we left off and get the last. You got about 2 minutes here.
Well, I just like to say I was concerned about Chief and I knew he wasn't doing well. JC had emailed me about his condition, and I knew Chief was a tough individual, and I just thank God that he's doing well.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening and wondering about this, he had gotten into a car wreck, and when he got checked out, they found that he had another issue there, and they did minor surgery on him right away. But he's good, he's strong, and he's on the mend. And I called him, we prayed together, and I think he's doing just fine, you know. So I talked to him, I guess, the day before yesterday was the last time I talked to him, and everything was fine then. So for those of you who care, but thank you, Dr. Mike, for asking and for thinking about it. I'm sure it means a lot.
Thank you so much.
So, yes, sir.
2 minutes remaining.
2 minutes? Okay, you know what? Marco, would you take those last 2 minutes and just tell us a little bit how you got involved in all this?
Well, there's no, the 2 minutes is one minute and a half is the outro.
Oh, okay.
I don't even have a 30 seconds. It's 1 minute now, so it's time to sign off and say, hey, everybody, and thank you, Alex, for coming on.
All right, guys. Hey, quickly, everybody check out Mitch's site. He was up in Colorado, and he's back, and big site, Crazy Bird Dog.
Welcome back, Mitch. Thanks.
And you want to sign off, Java Bomb?
No, go ahead. You do it.
No. Well, everybody, this is another edition of Bigfoot Live Radio, and we will see you next week. Keep Bigfooting. Take care.
Thanks to all our guests, and thanks to all the listeners out there. We really appreciate y'all. Thanks.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Boston.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is size
and everything else. They just were too realistic to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was
freaking into the
woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.